It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see everybody that came out to worship God. We're thankful for this church, and we're thankful for your prayer support and financial support, and just how welcoming you are and encouraging you are to us. This is the third time we've been able to be here. For those of you who don't know us, we're from the Mount Pleasant Mills area. Paul and I were married in 2013, so we've been married about 3.5 years. And we spent the last 2.5 years in Tanzania, Africa. And before we left for Tanzania, we were just normal people. And after the 2.5 years in a third world country, we're still just normal people. And we have our own struggles and temptations and trials. And We need Christ just as much as everybody else in this room. We forgot to mention last time, there's a table in the back that has some stuff from Tanzania. We want you to look at it. And we also have prayer cards. We would love for you to take a prayer card and pray for us. We do need prayer. Today, our presentation, we have in video format. And then after the presentation, we'll come back up and share some praises and prayer requests, and then we'll open it up for a question and answer time.
We spent the last 2.5 years in Tanzania, Africa, at a school called the Lion of Judah Academy.
The Lion of Judah Academy is an English language medium school for Tanzanian children, especially orphans and the children of poor Tanzanian pastors and missionaries. The school was founded in 2002 by American missionaries Hart and Lynn Inlow, together with a Tanzanian pastor, Mtebe, and his wife, Peely, who still run the school today. The school originally started with 10 students, but there are now over 700 boarding and day scholars, ranging from kindergarten through pre-college. The school campus includes 3 dorms, 26 classrooms, teacher housing, and a chapel. The school employs over 50 national teachers and workers and sits on about 40 acres of land.
In July of 2013, Paul and I got married. And in November, Paula graduated from college with a degree in music. In December, we felt like God was calling us to the school, the Lion of Judah Academy. And in March of 2014, we packed up to go to Africa. The first term was really a lot of growing for us. The first 4 months in particular were really tough. We had to learn a new language. We had to learn to cook, to wash our clothes, just different cultural things. It was a really big adjustment. It was really easy for me to find things to do because there's always things that need fixed. And Paula did a lot of teaching. Together we raised chickens with class 6, and we did different small projects with the students. Even though those 9 months were really tough, we felt like God wanted us to come back. There were a lot of projects we didn't finish that we felt if we were there a little longer, we could complete. So we decided to go back for another year and a half. Going back to Tanzania the second time and having a deeper understanding of the language and the culture allowed us to better understand the people that we were trying to reach. Since Tanzania is a third world country, most of the people in the village are subsistence farmers. So the director asked me to come up with a farming plan, and we built a chicken house for 300 chickens. We built a 6-stanchion dairy barn. We have future plans of a pig barn and a digester. A few of the other projects we did is we built a children's dorm that holds about 200 students because we needed a place to go with the younger kids since our school was growing so fast. We also put a wall around half of our campus just to kind of separate us from the village for security reasons. We also built onto our garage and workshop with the hopes of having a technical school in the future. And we also built a windmill for some of our gardens at the lake and irrigation.
My main role at this school has been to teach music, to teach elementary music. I love the challenge of teaching elementary music in Tanzania. So there are 40 students sitting in one classroom, back to back, and just bare walls and a chalkboard. Right now, the school doesn't have a place that's safe to keep music instruments, so I just use my tuning fork, and I just teach basic music. Last term, I also taught English to 6th and 3rd grade, and computer to 6th grade. Again, there are few resources, and I'm not a trained English or computer teacher, so I just thank God for the miracle of me not only making it through, but actually really enjoying teaching those topics. In January, God kept telling me to have a teen girls' Bible study. That idea was so intimidating to me. I didn't really know where to start with them. I think I learned more than my girls did through the whole Bible study process, but it was great. I let them choose the topics we talked about, and I kept trying just to pull the gospel back into everything. And we did end up having some great conversations, and they kept asking, can we have Bible study again? So that was really good. During that time, Dan and I also started to see a lot of the teens were really struggling with different issues, and God encouraged us to reach out to some student leaders who had become really discouraged. And that was an awesome experience because they actually did open up to us and we were able to form good relationships with them. When we go back in January, there will be about 4 more months left before the student leaders that are there now will graduate. So that time tends to be really tough for them, just because they have to continue in their leadership roles, but also they have to worry about passing their national exams. So we just want to be there for them purposefully, and we just want to reach out to them, pray for them, and just encourage them to apply truth to whatever they might be facing. In the classroom, I'll keep teaching music and English. In music, I still have to finish covering the concepts up to 5th grade, so that will be my goal in this coming school year. In computer, I want to train a Tanzanian teacher to take over all the computer classes for the elementary level. Right now, I'm the only teacher that's teaching this topic using the computer lab. And the reason for this is a Tanzanian teacher, even with a college education, doesn't usually understand how to type and how to get around on a computer like you would think. So it's intimidating trying to teach the topic without an understanding yourself. So I want to come alongside somebody, help them to be able to better understand the content, and then I think they'll do a great job. And there's a lot of other challenges, like few class times, and then there's power outages, and there are 7 computers for 40 students, so it is a lot to work through, but I think if we work through it together, we'll be able to do a great job with that class. Another area I'd like to focus on is curriculum development. In Tanzania, the curriculum is there, it's written. There just aren't very many teaching methods that are recommended, and the material tends to be poorly arranged. So my goal will be to go into the 1st grade curriculum, to reorganize it, and to add any material that's missing. If that goes well, I'll just do the same thing with 2nd grade. I also want to just work with the Tanzanian teachers and try to encourage, try to teach about the teaching methods that would be best for them to use with those topics.
When I return to Tanzania, there are 3 big projects that I will be working on: the school farm, the technical school, and a project with a workshop. I'll start with the school farm. The 3 projects I have with the farm right now is the chickens. We have layer chickens for eggs, a dairy barn, and plans for a pig barn. Before I left, I was training a student to take care of the chickens. He's 24. He's in 10th grade, and his name's Jacobo. He comes from a family of four, and his father recently left them, so now he has to take care of his mother and sister. Ideally, I'd like to see him take over the chicken project, so when I'm gone, he can collect the eggs and sell them and make the feed and make sure that everything runs smoothly with that. And that would provide an income for his family, as well as for the school. When we left in June, the dairy barn was almost completed. So when I go back, I'm hoping to be able to maintain 6 dairy cows that we can milk every day and have a feeding schedule and have a local Tanzanian that will learn the different processes to that program and eventually have them take it over and run that themselves. After the dairy barn, we plan to build a pig barn, and we want to be able to butcher pigs and cows and sell that in our local market. So we have the plans for that, and we have I guess the layout started, where it's going to go in our farm, and then eventually have a Tanzanian take over that. The goal is to have a Tanzanian take over each individual project through the school, and it would also be an income for their family, as well as for the school itself. We have a design for a technical school. We want to teach the students carpentry skills, plumbing skills, electrical skills. And we really want to make that available to more than just younger kids. We want to be able to have, men from the village. It doesn't matter what age they are. Just come in and be able to learn those skills. We also want to build a dorm for the students who will just be involved in the technical school because they don't have to participate in the national exams and the different curriculum that the other students have to. In our workshop, we currently make things for people in the village. A lot of times they'll come in and they'll want us to make them a door or a table or a chair. And so I'm putting a price list together and we'll have materials there. So that way, anytime somebody from the village comes into our workshop and they say they want a specific item, we have a cost that's set already because in their system they barter for things. And I'd rather it run on an American system where I know what's going out of the workshop and what's coming into the workshop. In January, we plan to return to Tanzania for another 3 years. After those 3 years, we're not exactly sure what we're going to be doing after that. We'll reevaluate and see where we feel God's calling us. It might be back to America, might be to stay in Tanzania. We have no clear direction at the moment, but we just want to be sensitive to what we feel God wants us to do. Our vision is not to make a third world country a first world country,
or to use Western culture and ideals to fix surface problems. In America and in Tanzania, there is one common deep-rooted problem.
Sin. We can teach a man to farm, but we can't keep him from drinking away his earnings.
We can give a child an education, but we can't instill in him wisdom and responsibility.
We can give a teen a chance to be a leader, but we can't convince him of the fall that will come after pride. We are farmers and teachers and mentors, but those roles are just means to an end.
Our vision is the gospel.
God loved us.
While we hated him, while we were in sin,
he saved us. He suffered more than we ever will.
He sacrificed more than we ever can.
His gospel is what compels us to follow him.
And what compels people to change, do right, and love others more than themselves. Nothing will change until people change.
And only the gospel can change people.
First, I want to say we are wearing matching clothes. This would be a common material you would see in the village. And believe it or not, it comes in much more vibrant colors. There's a lot of neon pinks and neon greens, so we're rather passive.
I had to bargain with him to make him wear that shirt, actually. We're really thankful to be here, and we just want to praise God for your church, and just want to encourage you to keep focusing on him and keep focusing on the gospel. We were just talking last night about thankfulness and how really our attitude of thankfulness stems from our minds and our understanding of what we really deserve, and we really deserve death and hell. Because of sin, and only because of Christ, is he giving us eternal life? And how can we not be thankful for that? We don't deserve any of it. And we just want to praise God and thank him for saving us and using us. Like Dan said, we're just very normal people and have seen God carry us in situations that we couldn't have done in our own strength. Right before we came back to America, about 2 weeks before, our computer and all of our electronics were stolen from our house, and we had started our presentation and stuff, and then it was, like, all gone, and we were like, what are we going to do? We didn't really have any material, any pictures, anything, and God provided a computer for us, and thank God for Google and for some people who were over and took pictures, and we're really thankful for the presentation he laid on our hearts, and we were able to do. Also, when we got back, Dan's car, which had been sitting while we were away, died, and so we didn't have a car, and within, I think, 2 weeks or so, we were able to get a car, two cars, actually. So we just praise God for how he's provided for us, and we've had really big blessing of a home assignment. Yeah.
A couple prayer requests we'd like to share with you. We're going back to Tanzania in January, so we have about 2 more months until we leave. Just pray for us as we prepare to go back, and pray for us as we make that transition from all of the comforts of here to going back to a third world country. Also, we probably have like 85% of our support raised, and we're really thankful for that. We were planning on buying a car when we go back, because there is one car in our village, and it belongs to our school. And the city is about 2 hours away. So every time we need to pick things up from the city, everybody puts in their order of what they need, and the car goes in, and it gets packed full, and then they bring it back. And if they can't fit your stuff, well, then you have to wait till the next month. So we're thankful that we have some money for a car, and just pray for us to, I guess that those finances would come in, and that everything would be as God wants it to be. So, at this time, we'd like to open it up for questions, and we'd love to hear what you have to ask. The national language is Swahili, but there's 127 tribes, and they all have a tribal language as well. Most people speak Swahili. In our area, the tribal language is Sukuma, so we know a few Sukuma words, but...
It's horrible language to learn. It's like medium...
We probably talk like a six-year-old. I don't know.
We can communicate and buy stuff at the market. Like, from where we were at the beginning, we would say, wow, we're really great. And from a normal person's ability to speak Swahili in their culture, then we're probably really bad. So.
Yeah, we couldn't carry a real deep conversation with somebody, but we can make a point or get across, I guess, a basic conversation. Actually, very few people speak English. They know these phrases, and a common one is "Give me my money." So you could just be walking through the village, and a boy will walk up to him and be like, "Give me my money," and that's all he knows in English. So,
our school is an English medium school, so all the students at our school speak English. So I'm able to teach in English, which is really good. Yeah.
No, it's an independent school, and we're really blessed. So there's a very heavy influence. There's a heavy Catholic influence, Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, and there's kids from, and we even have Muslim kids that come to our school because the school system, the government school system, is so corrupt that a lot of times teachers that are getting paid to go won't go to their classes unless the students pay them to teach them. And it's just a corrupt system. So our school's pretty known for being a good school. It went from 10 students to now currently we have 800 students in 12 years. So it gives you an idea of the reputation. And there was these Muslim families that came to our director. And he sat down and explained with them, we're going to give them a biblical worldview. We're going to teach them that Christ is the Savior. And they said, well, just as long as he gets a good education, that's okay with us. So really, it's a good opportunity to reach into those families with the gospel. So that gives you an idea of the different people that come into our school. There's always issues, like, they know we go to chapel on Sundays, so, you know, if somebody climbs over the fence and gets into the dorms and tries to steal stuff, that's happened a couple times, but,
And the fence, really, I mean, it's around the school, but you can drive right in. It's not really so much as people know now they can't get in because it's easy to get in. It's more for, preventing our students from getting out easily, and it's also for just...
It's just a good boundary.
Yeah.
Say, like, we don't want to see the students outside the fence, and we don't want to see village kids coming inside when they shouldn't be in our school. So that's more just a...
We get less people grazing their cows now in our yard, so...
Yes.
It's nice.
In our garden.
Yeah.
We live 30 minutes from the Serengeti National Park. So if you live right outside the park, like 5 minutes, you might see some animals. But if an animal gets out of the park, and there's no fence, so they can leave, the villagers will kill it and eat it, no matter what it is. So we don't get to see a lot of animals unless we go.
But when you go into the park, yeah, it's really... awesome just to see giraffes and elephants in person.
We do. We do get to see, we live along the lake, so sometimes the hippos will come out into the lake or a crocodile will come out, and we've seen both those.
That's so funny. I think if we would have answered that question truthfully, knowing what we went through, then we probably wouldn't have gone.
The first 4 months of being there was really tough. It was a challenge. I don't know if we shared this with you last time. The day we showed up, there was a miscommunication, and they didn't know we were coming. They thought we were coming a week later. So we were in a third-world country, didn't know the language, didn't know how to get anywhere. And it was just kind of an idea of what our first 4 months was like, just this learning, growing.
I feel like I just learned kind of how to survive for, 5 months. So it's pretty boring prayer letters at the beginning. At first, one of our biggest challenges was just how to live. Like, where do we buy food? How do I wash my clothes? When somebody asks me for money, what do I do? And some of those challenges have gone away. And as they've gone away, new kind of deeper challenges have come. Like, we've kind of learned a lot more about our school and the deeper challenges of teachers and corruption and the stuff that goes on in the student body, and just learning how to reach out to the kids in a meaningful way. And one challenge that hasn't gone away is people asking for money. It happens at least once a week and sometimes on a daily basis. And just how to give in a way that's wise, and how to invest in people's lives in a way that's not damaging, in a way that's lasting. So those are some of the challenges we work through now.
One thing we learned is if you have a handout, and one person comes for the handout, the next time there'll be two, and the next time there'll be, until you have the whole village coming for anything that's free. So we really do pray a lot for wisdom and how to reach out to the villagers and the students. Our village, there's actually two villages that are side by side, and there's about 500 people apiece in each village. And then our school has about 1,000 people total, close to that. So it's like its own village as well in between
these
two.
What's the country? I don't remember.
The country population is about 40 million. Our region is has had a pretty heavy Christian influence. So we hear about it because the students love to talk about witches and witchcraft and tell spooky stories. But we don't see it so much where we live. But we do hear about it from missionaries who are serving inland further. It's very common there. If you want it to rain on your crops, you take a chicken to the witch doctor. If you want to get healthy, you go and give something to the witch doctor. It's very common in central Tanzania.
And it's kind of confusing to us. Like, in one sense, you don't see it in a day-to-day basis, but in other senses, you hear about Christians, doing something to expecting something from the witch doctor, like you said, and it's weird. Like, why would you trust the witch doctor if you trust in Christ? Or, people really do believe in witches, and there are witches in Tanzania, and they're very powerful. And it's something you don't really want to joke about, because we've heard things like, oh, that guy's training to be a witch doctor. And so it's definitely a real serious thing, but not something that we've personally had
directly
to...
directly in our village.
Yeah. Deal with.
We can turn back over to Pastor Crow.
Thank you. Again, would you encourage...
We've been looking forward to having you back, and we're glad you've been here, and we thank you for coming. Looking forward to being with you during lunch and maybe having an opportunity to interact. Again, we're going to receive an offering for their ministry, for their deputation, or whatever you call that, and give you an opportunity to go to the back and then talk to some people, and then lunch at 1 o'clock. we'll be together. Ushers, would you come and plan to receive this offering for Dan and Paula and their ministry? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this ministry. We pray that you would bless it. We pray that you would bless Dan and Paula and the teachers and administrators and workers and students and parents. Again, that people would come to know Christ. We pray for them. Thank you for their faithfulness and pray that you would continue to watch over them and lead them and guide them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.